Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. I want to thank today's sponsor, Amazing.com. Amazing.com offers proven online courses that can help just about anyone start their own business, from selling products on Amazon to launching the next hot mobile app. They've already helped more than 20,000 people get started, and you can learn how at Amazing.com or call 888-373-9363.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an award-winning entrepreneur, best-selling author, marketing and branding pro, yogi wife, and the mom of three. She founded her self-named business 7 years ago after leaving a six-figure, high-pressure job as a conference producer. My guest launched her coaching and training business in 2008 to help and inspire women to embrace the power in business and life. She loves guiding entrepreneurs and visionaries to embrace their gifts and find their calling. My guest book, Get Gutsy, is an Amazon bestseller and a sacred and fearless guide for finding our soul's calling and living our dreams. Now, let's hack. Jenny Fennig. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by BizFilings, where you go to incorporate with step-by-step guidance from on-demand experts. If you want a job done right, you've got to go to the experts. And when it comes to incorporating, that means BizFilings. With more than a million incorporations under their belt, the people at BizFilings know all the ins and the outs of setting up a business for success. They'll break down the process for you, outline the fees and forms, and work closely with the state so you know exactly what to expect every step of the way. BizFilings was founded by entrepreneurs who set out to build the kind of experience they'd want if they had to do it all over again. A straightforward site loaded with tools to help you understand your options and make the right call. With the resources at BizFilings, there's no need to put off incorporation any longer. Get started today with a free guide at bizfilings.com/start. That's bizfilings.com/start. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have another very, very, very special guest. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. I am happy to be here.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Me too.
All right. Jenny, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Mm-hmm. Well, John, I love this question. What I do, just the way I live, is I'm a very spiritual woman, spiritual person, and I tap into that all the time. Like this morning, I was out walking my daughter around our neighborhood. We live in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts. It's absolutely gorgeous. The fall is calm. The leaves are starting to change colors. And I just was looking around going, this is freaking magic. And I get so many ideas when I am outside. I tend to not get my best ideas when I'm behind my computer. It's when I'm out, I'm experiencing life. I am realizing just the perfection of it all and how the universe knows what's better for me more than even I do. So coming into this place of surrender, coming into this place of faith, of courage, of knowing that it's my responsibility to have this, what I call a spiritual practice. I talk about this a lot with my clients, with my students, because entrepreneurship is not, you know, it's not a road of rainbows and roses all the time. I mean, certainly we have those moments and we can celebrate those and, you know, be so proud of the effort that we've put into the project or the business. But we have a lot of dark moments, dark nights of the soul, moments where we say, forget it. You know, this is too hard. I'm giving up. I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe you got your first critic or negative review or something, and you're like, I just want to crawl under the covers. So we need to have this spiritual practice. And so that's what I have. I'm a big yogi. Many, many years ago when I was extricating myself from my corporate America life, I didn't really know exactly that I was moving into entrepreneurship, but that is in fact what was happening. I decided to train to become a yoga teacher. And that training and just going deeper into my yoga practice, which I at that point been practicing for about 6 years, that changed just the way that I show up, the way I view the world. So for me, it's having that spiritual practice and knowing that no matter what comes my way, the highs, the lows, the everything in between, I can come back to that place. I can find stillness. I can find my center and be okay.
Nice. I love it. I love it. The one thing I want to know is you in there walking around and being in nature mm-hmm. is where, and just the idea of not being behind a computer mm-hmm. to get your ideas, to get your creativity flowing. Mm-hmm. What do you have like a habit of, how do you contain these ideas? How do you track them? How do you not mm-hmm. forget them? I always think that I'm not going to forget them.
Yeah.
And then I do.
Totally.
I even forget that I forget them.
Yeah, I know. You're like, oh, I had it. And it's true. They come. And just as quickly as they come, they can go. So you do want to have a way to capture your ideas. So often when I walk, when I'm out, you know, if I go to a yoga class, for instance, and I make a point to go to at least 2 or 3 a week. Afterwards, I have my, you know, either a voice memo app on my iPhone or the notes app on my phone, and I'll just stick it in there. Or if I know it's directly related to a project, I use the project management tool Asana. I know there's lots of different project management tools out there, but I'm obsessed with Asana. I've been using it for several years, and I'll just drop it in there based on one of the projects. I'm like, ooh, let's do this. I can assign it either to myself or to someone on the team, give it a deadline, put my initial thoughts in there and just go. Because that's the thing when you're an entrepreneur, it's getting the ideas and then knowing which ones have legs, you know, which ones are you going to really explore? Because it takes a lot of courage and discipline to even follow an idea. Sometimes they go nowhere. Sometimes they're dead ends. But voice memo app, notes memo app, and whatever your project management tool is, for me, it's Asana. And that tends to work really well. And then, of course, my journal. You know, I love to just to journal. Like, I keep so many notebooks. Often I'll have like a straight up notebook in my purse or just around my space. If I come back into my house, I work from home. I have a beautiful, what I call the sunshine studio in my home. And I just have it there. And journaling for me, especially because I am a writer and I did write my first book and that was published earlier this year, that allows me to so make sense of just this little like raw nugget that tends to come in when I get the idea, when I just flush it out through the power of my hand. And that's a tip for, you know, we're just realizing there's so much now that is done on the computer. I love my computer. I mean, we're connecting right now, John, through the computer. It's a wonderful machine. But we can't forget the power of actually using our hand and our arm when exploring what this idea really is, because it comes through us. And I believe our bodies are like vessels and vehicles for our creations. And so when we can play with it through actually writing, not only typing, write it out. I have seen so much through the writing. And then what I'll do is I'll then just take it to the computer and flesh it out even more deeply.
Nice. Yeah, I'm turning into more of a, like having more of a propensity to writing rather than just typing. Like, especially with notes, like if I'm following, say, a webinar or in these conversations, like right now I'm taking notes by hand. One thing, because it's annoying to be typing and like, I could probably hear it, but it's also, to me, I don't know. It's not that you don't have the intimacy with the ideas, I don't think, as much sometimes.
It's true. And when you are typing, you know what you're automatically doing it, even if you don't realize? You're editing. So you're typing like, oh crap, I misspelled that. And you go back and you're like, you can't just be in flow with the idea because you're in edit mode already. You don't want to be in edit mode when you're first getting the ideas down. That's where it's just like the brain dump. You're just shoom, just spewing it out on the page. It's going to look messy. It's going to be like, what did I just get there? But you'll find there's some total gold in there. But if you're instantly moving to the computer, you're starting to censor and edit immediately. And that's not cool. It's not the best way to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, I totally agree. That whole editing thing. And I know that I'm supposed to write first, edit later. But you're right. As you're doing it, it's like, well, I'll just go back and edit that. And then you lose that flow. All right. So in that first answer, you mentioned extricating yourself from corporate.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of go back because there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make this huge difference in the world or they find that they simply cannot work for somebody else anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, could you tell me what side of the fence you fall on and when you discovered this about yourself?
Yeah. Well, I first discovered this in it had been coming to me for quite some time, you know, several years, like in bits and pieces. I was working in New York City at the time. This was in the 2000s. And, you know, I thought I was living my dream. I was a public relations executive, which was like the thing I went to college for. I was working at one of the biggest firms, best firms, PR agencies in the world. Big, big clients, like Fortune 100 clients. And then from there, I was like, this is kind of not what I thought it was going to be. And from there, you know, it was like, it was glorious. And everyone's like, wow, it's so glam. You get to work with celebrities and travel around the world. But yet I just didn't feel right inside. So I made a major career shift. I moved into conference production, which I didn't even know that was a job until, you know, I found it. It found me. And same deal, like it trained me to become an entrepreneur because I got a cut of the profits of my events. And so that was my first taste of entrepreneurship, you know, unknowingly was like, oh, wow, this is cool. It's not just salary. This is, you know, the financial piece is more fun here. But I saw these big name speakers on my stage, like Tony Robbins and Colin Powell and Malcolm Gladwell. And I'm thinking, wow, they are living their dream up there. And they look like they're having a lot of fun. I know they're getting really well paid because I'm like, you know, signing off on their check. You know, like, okay, wow, like that was a $75,000 speaking engagement. Nice. And they're just having a ball and they're sharing what they know and they're sharing their passion. And so like that inner nudge kept talking to me, and that calling, that voice that I kind of alluded to earlier with that spiritual practice. So, you know, for me, it was like, which side of the fence? I honestly, like, I can identify with both sides of those fences. And it's probably because I'm also a Gemini, which means like, I'm like the sign of the twins. So I'm this duality. But I remember thinking like, I can't work in this corporate environment anymore. I remember wanting to, you know, I wanted to have more time. I wanted to start working from home. I wanted to, my husband and I had a vacation home that we could go to. And like, we could never get here because he worked weird schedule. And so I was like, I have this great life I could be creating for myself, but I'm trapped. I'm like trapped in this office Monday through Friday from 9 to whenever. And then I was traveling to my events. And I remember asking, I wanted to go. Steven and I were going to go to Asia. I was obsessed with going to Asia, John. I kept hearing about it when I was doing research for my conferences, because I'd have to get on the phone with corporate leaders and ask what their biggest challenges were. And I kept hearing about the rise of Asia and the trends coming from Asia, because my events were all about brand strategy and marketing and customer management. And I'm like, I want to go to Asia. I keep hearing about it. Like the universe is telling me to go to Asia. And literally. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to go to Asia for 2 weeks. And then there was this training in London for my work. And I had it all orchestrated. Like, I'll go to the training and then I'll come back and Steve and I go to Asia, and it's going to be awesome because I love seeing the world. Like, this is a major passion of mine. And my boss basically told me, no, you can't. You can't go to the training in London if you're going to be going away on this trip. And I was so mad because I love to learn. You know, I'm like, why? You know, like, I was one of the top producers on the team. I knew I was going to get all my work done. I always did. I always came through. I just felt like this environment does not support who I am as a person, and it never will. It's not the environment's fault. It's just, I don't fit here anymore. I'm done. So, yeah. So at that point I was like, that's it. I'm going to Asia for a month. And it was crazy, John. I actually went to Asia for a month and stayed employed full-time. Nice. I was going to actually quit my job. And I was like, I'll do my yoga teacher training up at Kripalu. And I had it all done. They offered me a promotion. It was nuts. And I went to Asia for a month, not even the 2 weeks. And I kept the job, which is kind of unheard of. Anyone who's listening who works in corporate, like, do you really get a month off in a row? No. For vacation? No. And I did. I somehow pulled that off. But I knew it didn't feel right for me anymore. So at first, for me, it was just like, this environment doesn't work for me anymore because I feel trapped. I feel stifled. I felt like handcuffed. And then as I was able to take that time off and come back with my newfound knowledge about, you know, world travel, and I'm starting to do my yoga teacher training, I'm waking up to who I am as a human and really what my calling is. And I have this gift. Then it started becoming, you know what, I have something that I need to share with the world. I wasn't quite sure what it was yet, John. I didn't yet. I wasn't in like all these entrepreneur groups. I wasn't signing up for online courses on how to launch this. I didn't have a podcast, like none of that. It was just, there was something like the inner voice that was whispering to me for so many years started getting a lot louder and a lot more clear. And so then eventually it just became that calling. And then from there, I made the leap and I committed to finding out what that calling was and then living it in the world through my business.
So you made the leap before you knew what that calling was.
Definitely. Yep. And I don't recommend that.
That was my next question.
I don't recommend that. It was a pretty rebel move, but it had to be that way for me. It had to be that way for me. I couldn't not do it anymore. I had talked myself out of it for so long. And in that particular job, I had so much pressure and so much riding on me that I literally had no space to take in new information. I just didn't. There was just too much on my plate and in my life at that point. So what I personally had to do was just clear the decks, just clear them. You know what? I'm hitting like the stop button here. And I trusted that the answers would find me or I would find them. You know, I would go on this exploration. And luckily with that last job, as I mentioned, it was a lucrative position. So I had money. Mm-hmm. I had money. It wasn't like, oh crap, you know, we're going to be out on the street. My husband was emotionally supportive. I knew it wasn't like I could be, you know, unemployed for years on end or even months on end. Like I needed to figure it out. My income was and still is very much important to our family and our lifestyle. But I knew like when my feet are held to the fire, I get it. You know, I get it done.
Yeah.
I get it done. So that was me holding my feet to the fire.
Yeah, which is awesome. And I think sometimes it's absolutely necessary because otherwise we just have so many excuses, right? But when you put your feet to the fire, then you have to do it.
Yes.
You have to step up and do it. And you don't need to know where it's going to lead. It's all a journey and it's going to end up somewhere, but you got to push it to find those places.
That's right. And that's where the spiritual practice comes into play. And I was, you know, I was almost at the end of that yoga teacher training and I was doing yoga just about every day of the week. That saved me during that time because it was very scary. I don't want to, you know, kind of make light of it. It was very scary and very lonely. And, you know, there were moments and I thought I just made the biggest mistake of my life. You know, yoga brainwashed me. What the heck? Now I went from six figures to zero figures. Like what just happened? I lost my identity. Yeah. Who do I say I am now that I don't have this title? But that's the ego. You got to strip away all of that from the ego flips out. And so as I talked about, you know, throughout this podcast is like that spiritual practice is you coming face to face with the ego and realizing what it is. And knowing that you can come from a place of truth and you will find your way and the universe always rises up to meet you when you do your part.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, Jenny, we're going to move on to work. Mm-hmm. So every blog post, every expert talks about the 80-20 rule. Do 20%, get 80% of the results. Mm-hmm. They say do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Mm-hmm. At the very beginning of this conversation, you told me your one thing that you are very, very good at. Mm-hmm. Now, could you please tell me something in your business that you're absolutely not good at?
Oh my gosh, there's a lot. Some of like the tech pieces, hurt my brain, you know, trying to figure out like, how does that link up and sync up? It's so not me. You know, I do run an online business and I have an operations manager who does all that tech. You know, we use Infusionsoft in my business. So like, how do the campaigns work and the autoresponders and this list and that list? Like, I would get lost in there. I would be like on another planet. You know, I just can't, it's just not the way I'm wired. So that's not my thing. I'm also really not great at just like the analytics and the numbers and looking at, you know, the percentages, the conversions and all that. That stuff. That's like, it's very much that left-brained type stuff. I'm not excellent at that. And honestly, I don't care about it that much to be straight up. I am much more of the creative, the writer, the rainmaker. I have this like these teachings that I love to get out into the world. I love to share my wisdom and what I've learned and just connect with people that way. I create amazing experiences and some of those more techie, numerical, like black and white stuff. Yeah, I'm not great at that.
Boring, that stuff.
So boring. But necessary.
Okay. Well, you said that you didn't think it was even that necessary. That's what I was wondering. So do you think that it doesn't need to be in a business, or do you just not have to do it? Like, have you put somebody in place to focus on the percentages and the numbers and the analytics?
I need to do that in a bigger way. Like my operations gal, she's really great with all of like the linking up of all of our like the autoresponders, the campaigns, and making sure everyone's in the right list and they're getting tagged and, you know, all of that like nitty gritty techie stuff.
Yep.
That's all her. The analytics, like that is really the next frontier for me. I've got to do a better job of that. That's something that I haven't totally analyzed. I made it pretty far like without it, but I know that that'll be that next place that I, you know, in business, there's certain things you realize, like you can't just put your head in the sand and pretend that it doesn't exist and pretend it doesn't matter. You also want to look at what kind of business that you're running. So I'm not running one where I'm looking for like 2,000 people in a course and I need to get, you know, a certain number out there. And I run a much more like intimate, like boutique style business where I know the names of the people in my groups and programs. They're pretty premium. They're deep, they're sacred. And that's what I like right now. So some of those like straight up analytic stuff, yes, it is important. And yes, it is something that I want to get in place and will, but it hasn't been a make or break for me at this point in the business.
Awesome. I love it. I love creating a business that fits the lifestyle you want and what you want to do, not just growth, 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 make it big. You want the boutique intimate style. That's like perfectly legitimate, awesome business to run. And I think that we should push more people to run businesses that they want rather than just always the bigger is better, which it isn't.
Yes, it's not. And there's stuff that comes with that. And if that's, you know, the way people are wired, then that's wonderful. But I know for me, I really like to get in there with my people. I like to know who they are. You know, I really do. I want to know their names. I want to know what they're about. That's where I am now. That might shift over time, but just where I am in my life, I've got 3 young kids. All of that comes into play as I've designed this. And, you know, I hope and desire to be in this game for several more decades, right? I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
So I also think about that I'm running a marathon, not a sprint. I don't want to burn out. I don't want to get to a point where I'm like, forget it. I'm out. This is lame. You know, it's killing me. It's robbing me of my soul. So I'm very conscious about how I'm shaping this.
Nice. I love it. Okay. Since we're still on work, and today is a work day, it's a Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me, do you have like a morning routine that you go through, say, the first 30 minutes of your work day to kind of set yourself up to do the things you need to do to push your business forward?
Yeah, it honestly varies because, again, I got these 3 kids. So they're 3, you know, it's just, you got the kids, they're the ultimate teachers in just staying nimble and flexible because you think you've got this whole plan and then the curveball comes. So just like yesterday, I had this babysitter schedule and it was Sunday and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I got a babysitter. My husband was traveling on business and I'm like, it's wonderful because I've got a lot happening right now and I really needed her to come and like help me out so I could focus on these projects. And I look at my phone like 10 minutes before she's scheduled to be there and she canceled. And so it was just, okay, all right, cool. But typically I enjoy getting up before my children and making some tea. And just sitting, like warmth is really, really good for my body. And I have a couple of meditation books that I'll read. They're like daily meditation books. And so I'll turn to whatever day's message it is and read that message that centers me. And it reminds me, okay, this is where we are. This is really what it's all about. You know, the goals, all that stuff is awesome. And I'm on it and I'm fired up. But I'm coming back to this place of center, that place that no one can touch inside of me. And then I really will just, you know, I do like to check in with my, like, social media gives me a lot of joy, honestly. I like seeing what's going on. If I've written a post or shared something or whatever, I enjoy seeing the feedback or the discussion around that. So that gives me a lens around what's happening right now in the world with my people, because that's what my business is all about. It's serving my people. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help them. I'm here to help my tribe fulfill their potential, find and cash in on their calling through their work. So I want to check in with what's happening right now. You know, if for instance, one of my clients just experienced a death in her family, and I was able to feel that and just pray for her, meditate around that, and bring that into my focus of, hey, we are so lucky to be alive. Mm-hmm. so lucky. Like each one of us, so lucky. And I knew this a long time ago, John. My younger sister passed away when I was a teenager and she was 12. So this influences my work. So I call on the support from my sister, Julie. I have other, what I call these spirit guides, and I'll connect in with them and I ask for their help. I ask for their help as I go about my day, because one of the biggest mistakes that you can make is relying solely on your own strength to do the thing that you want to do. It's not about you. And it's not all on your shoulders. Don't rely just on your strength. This is a co-creative effort, and you can get help from whatever your faith is. The universe, spirit, source, your spirit guides, God, like fill in the blank, whatever it is for you. And so I that is my practice. That is my practice. That informs my day. And from there, it's just being open to the mystery and the magic and the adventure of it all.
I love it. I love it. It was awesome. And I really enjoy the fact how you say that you enjoy and use social media in such a positive way. It gets such negative connotations around it, how it's just a waste of time and all this. And you use it to keep in touch with your people. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to keep it in check. It can be a total, rabbit hole, but that's about, the art of entrepreneurship is knowing kind of what to focus on and what to ignore. And if you're constantly in reactive mode, that's not good as a human being. So you want to be able to respond in certain situations when the time is right, not all of the time, really be discerning about this. That's had a huge impact on my success, is I can put on blinders when I need to hustle. I'm like, this has to get done today. So it's going to get done. Like I'm closing out these other things and I'm going to hustle and I'm going to feel so great, throughout the journey, because it's all about the process. It's not just about the end destination. It's like, can I enjoy the process?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. We're going to move to projects, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
Projects is a very loose term, can mean any sort of new direction or venture you want to take on within your business.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know your thought process, and also if it's like a written process of how something comes across when you're doing yoga or wherever this idea comes from, mm-hmm. and then you decide that, yes, this is worth putting my time, money, and resources into.
Mm-hmm.
What is that process to decide that?
Yeah. It's very much a gut instinct. My book is called Get Gutsy. So I live and breathe by that credo. I listen, my body will tell me things. It does. Mm-hmm. And if I start just getting like that tingling in my body, I know, like that is my soul, my spirit talking to me through this idea. So that's kind of like that first inclination is like, okay. And we're wired to like talk ourselves out of ideas, So we're wired to be like, oh, that's stupid. That's all been done before. That's going to be so hard. People are going to think you're crazy. They're not going to like it, whatever. So like that stuff comes, that's the natural resistance. So I've just come to like, kind of when it comes like, oh, here it is. All right, that's fine, whatever. Just push it aside. And I have this giant roll of paper in my office. I actually have like a giant piece on the floor right now. It's been on the floor for quite some time because I had one of these downloads a few months ago. And that's what I'll do. Like I get so much out of writing big, not trying to get all my ideas in my little notebook, that I have in my folder. That's a great place to capture the nugget. But then to fully flesh it out, I will roll out my big paper and just sketch and arrows and circles and stars and hearts and, everything. It's like this explosion on the paper, and it's art. And, sometimes I'll put in like the paper I have on my floor. It's just like little categories. And then I'm talking like, what's the strategy to get people to know about this? What's the term? What's the kind of support? I'm just really giving structure to the idea. So there is some kind of container for it, because that's what we need. I've found on the entrepreneurial journey that the idea is what it is. And then we start fleshing it out. It can feel a bit like all over the place and you don't really know what it is. It feels a bit amorphous. When we can get a container to it, perhaps give it a name, a working title, even if it's not going to be, the final title, but just something that gives your brain like an image or an idea to wrap itself around. That's super helpful. Maybe you even want to have your designer. Like I'll do that sometimes. I'm like, I'll just have my designer. Just can you create a graphic for this? Because my brain needs it. My brain needs the graphic to hold on to, because this idea is so meaty. It's so rich. It's so big. But the graphic helps contain it. It is like literally Like, you know, you have your water bottle. It's like, just put it in there, put everything in there so it can feel manageable. Really, that's what we need is for it to feel manageable. Right now, I'm working on a really big project. It's an idea that I had. It's on that big giant piece of paper that's on the floor. And I'm actually working with a group. I'm in this like business incubator group that's been pretty amazing. And I've been challenged to like work backwards from a particular, you know, deadline. Like, okay, let's work backwards from, you know, December 1st, for example. And from there, realizing like everything that I want to have happen in this project and then reverse engineering the timeline. And I have to tell you, John, although I've been in business for a long time and I'm pretty great with project management and, you know, making things real that were just initially just an idea in my head, I had never done this before, like straight up, like hardcore working backwards on the timeline. And when I remember going through the process going, oh my gosh, like it was exciting. And then I also felt like I was going to throw up, you know, like this is so official. This feels so legitimate. I really felt like I was back in my corporate days where this is how I did it. And I think when I went out as an entrepreneur, I almost rallied against some of that structure because I was, you know, it was kind of like, I'm out of there. I don't need that anymore. I just want to kind of willy-nilly and feel my way through everything, which has gotten me far. Yeah. But this new way of operating has been rocking my world. And I'm enjoying like really breaking out week by week what's going to happen and who's responsible for it. And just the different layers too that go into this one giant idea that I have. There's many different touch points in. So that's been a new strategy that I've been playing with, kind of a new technique. And I'm already feeling the results of that.
I love it. I love it. And that is something my listeners will know that I've talked about. The whole idea of working backwards from where you want to be or what you want to complete is amazing.
It's
so powerful. And I agree with you, the whole rebelling against a corporate structure, but then eventually realizing that actually there are some good aspects to it.
Exactly.
But at first it's hard. We want to just go the exact opposite way, right? It can do whatever we want.
Exactly. I'm so glad you shared that. I'm not the only one. Yeah, you do. You're just going to be like, whatever, you guys don't know what you're doing. But corporate taught me so much. I am very grateful to have had, I had a decade career spent in corporate, and it has completely influenced my entrepreneurial path. And not everybody has that same journey, but for me, I am super grateful to have learned the structures, building teams, setting goals, you know, just, you know, having like a last corporate job I have to have in some of my conferences, like 100 or 150 phone conversations with people, like interviews during a small window of time. And so they would break it down that we had to do 60 call outs a day to get 6 people to talk to us live because we'd be cold calling.
Cool.
Oh yeah. And those numbers used to freak me out, but they worked.
Yeah.
They worked.
They do. Exactly. All right, Jenny, this has been a really, really fun conversation. I want to wrap up on something I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap.
Mm-hmm.
So as entrepreneurs and as dreamers, I guess, creating something out of nothing, right?
Yep.
We are always looking forward and projecting goals into the future, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years out. And although I agree we need to do that, and you've said you want to be in this for decades, so we're always looking at it in the future. And before we even get to that next goal, we seem to set loftier ones into the future. When my next book comes out, when I get to speak on this stage, when I get to do that, I'll be successful. But we never quite get there. We always seem to live in this gap between what we've done and where we're going. And so what I find is that we fail to oftentimes really just stop and look back at what we've learned, what we've come through, everything we've done and what we have accomplished till right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love if you would do that right now, Jenny. You've come a long ways in the last 7 years from the exact corporate job you went to college for and then have went through this transition and this journey into entrepreneurship. I would love for you to tell me how you feel about what you've learned, what you've accomplished, and then also where you're heading.
Mm, gosh, thanks for the opportunity. I feel blessed and honored and grateful and proud of what I've done. I look back and I just say, whoa, you know what? I was able to just get off the ground, like a lot of it by myself, you know, a lot of it. I mean, certainly I couldn't have done it without my clients and my students and my team. But when you're the ideas person, and I am the ideas person in my business, it comes through us. And these ideas have come to me. I'm just grateful that I am this channel for this work. And I'm proud of myself for taking care of myself. That has been one of my secrets, is just, you know, the yoga and the self-care. And this morning, you know, green smoothie, like full on, filled with kale and juicy goodness of just like, yes, this is it. Because I know that all the success in the world will mean nothing if I lose my health, if I lose my sanity, if I lose my relationships. And I'm just freaking psyched that I've been able to do this. And I'm humbled by the success that I've had. And I simply know that there's just more out there. And I'm on this journey. I honestly, John, I have no idea where it's all going to go. I mean, how can we know?
That's the fun.
How? That's the fun. If you were to tell me, Jenny, this is exactly how it's going to end for you, be like, oh, you just told me the ending to the movie. Like, please don't tell me. I mean, even if I thought I knew, it's going to be different and better than my, you know, grandest of imaginations could conjure up. So I know that I'm here to touch more lives. I have the desire to write more books. And yes, I want to do a TED talk, you know, all these things that I want to do. I want to travel the world. I want to meet my tribe all over the world. You know, that's just come to me recently, where my family and I do a good amount of traveling, and I want to do that. I'm like, well, I'm going to be in this place. Like, I want to just arrange some kind of meetup, something. Like, I want this. I really love knowing people. I like knowing people. I don't get off on just all the computer stuff. I really don't. I enjoy it. I am grateful for my trusty Mac and my iPhone and all of it. But I get so much pleasure from being in the same space as somebody else, like looking in their eyes, you know, hugging them, dancing with them. I have a retreat coming up here in the Berkshires, and it is heaven for me. It is total magic to be with these women who have traveled from all over. And I know for many of them, they are scared out of their minds to have done this. They are leaving behind certain people at home who are like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you doing this? And they're taking a chance on themselves. They're taking a risk. And I know how vulnerable that can feel. So my vision and my intention is to continue supporting my tribe and being the teachers and, you know, really these spiritual leaders. That's what I consider my people, and that's what I am. And to touching those lives they came here to touch, and doing it in the way that feels good to them. As you mentioned, John, like, don't do it in the way that this person's doing it because you think you have to do it that way to be successful. Like, you've got to check in with yourself. And I've had to check myself on that many a time when I've kind of gone off the rails, when I'm like, well, I got to do it. Like, and you come back to yourself and you're like, that actually feels horrible. I don't like that at all. That's so not me. Yeah. I'm just psyched. I'm so psyched to be in this, and I'm grateful that I can do it, you know, as a mother of three children, as I mentioned, as a wife to my husband, Stephen, that I can really be present with my family, do this great work, and do it on my own terms.
I love it. I love it. Beautiful answer. All right, Jenny, you have, I'm sure, hooked some of my listeners at this point. So we've got to talk about your business in passing and your new book. Could you please tell the listeners specifically where to go find out more about you and your business and your book?
Sure, sure. So yeah, the book is Get Gutsy. The subtitle is A Sacred Fearless Guide for Finding Your Soul's Calling and Living Your Dream. It's especially for listeners who are muddy about, like, what is my calling? You know, like, how do I get out of what I'm doing now? Because it's not working. You just kind of, you feel very lost. You feel a bit confused. So it's available on Amazon. You can check it out there. You can also grab a free, we have a book website, get a free chapter at getgutsybook.com and learn more about it there. And then my digital headquarters live at jennyfennig.com. It's my name, jennyfennig.com. And I'm very active on social media, which we talked about. My favorite platform is Facebook. Love Facebook. I also am on Instagram, and Periscope is kind of my newest fascination. I'm having a lot of fun there. And that's a great new platform for connecting with your people in real time. It's quite magical. Facebook, you know, you're connecting in real time, but Facebook, you know, isn't really video, although they have a video platform that they're offering up to those people with, what is it called? Those pages that are like your public figure, and then you get like approved or you get like a check mark next to your name. So Facebook's moving into that terrain as well, but Periscope is really blowing up right now. So come check me out on Facebook, Periscope, Instagram. Let me know who you are, that you heard me here on John's amazing podcast, Hack the Entrepreneur, and let me know how I can support you.
Nice. And we find you at Jenny Fennig, right?
Yes, jennyfennig.com. Yeah, Jenny Fennig is my handle on everything.
Excellent. So jennyfennig.com, getgutsybook.com, and all the social medias will be also listed on my site at the show notes. So you don't even have to remember anything. You can just go there and click through and find Jenny.
You're so awesome, John. So, helping your people.
So again, Jenny, thank you so very, very much for stopping by and chatting with me today. I really, really had a lot of fun. And please keep doing what you're doing because it really is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you. And congratulations on your podcast, John. It's amazing to be here. And I love the work that you're doing in the world.
Thank you very much. What an excellent conversation. I really, really, really enjoyed that. And I thank you again, Jenny. So out there listening to this conversation, we went a lot of places, and Jenny has a really sort of, I guess, big picture, like above it, sort of like this spiritual practice she keeps talking about is like this mindset and sort of this dealing with not just business, but life in general and sort of ideas and concepts. And it was really, we went to some really, really interesting places, and I'm really glad that we got to share that conversation with you. But then as I go back through the conversation, there was three things that really stuck out to me, and I got it down to two, and at the end, there was just one left. There was this one thing that Jenny said that really, really, really stuck out to me. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
You can't just be in flow with the idea because you're in edit mode already. You don't want to be in edit mode when you're first getting the ideas down. That's where it's just like the brain dump. You're just shoom, just spewing it out on the page. It's going to look messy. It's going to be like, what did I just get there? But you'll find there's some total gold in there. But if you're instantly moving to the computer, you're starting to censor and edit immediately, and that's not cool.
And that's the hack. Jenny, thank you for this. This almost seems too simple, this hack, but it is so absolutely necessary. I had to actually really think about this one because this sort of is something that I guess I forget about now, but this is so essential to the process of creating so many aspects of a business to me. Just from even finding a name that has like an available domain and just these processes of brainstorming from original idea to say 50 ideas later when you finally get something that's solid and then you start moving forward with different things. There's all these brainstorms and these brain dumps, as Jenny calls it, that are absolutely necessary. And so many times we censor ourselves and edit ourselves as we're doing it. And it completely, something I wish that was actually taught in school is how to brainstorm. This is something I had to learn afterwards myself. And this is so essential, especially when you're doing it with collaboratively with other people, is to really make it a safe sort of welcoming environment to just throw out the craziest, worst ideas ever, because from those ideas come really amazing things, truly just things you would never have come to. And just following like the mind maps or like webs of thought and just brainstorming off of different ideas, this is so, so true. And if you're writing, I mean, this is something that I'm always telling you to do, is to create more content. Put your ideas out there, throw them out there, just keep these ideas going and work on them. As James Altucher says, create an idea machine out of yourself by just always working on these muscles. But you can't do that if you write the first sentence and you did some grammar, like my grammar is the worst. I'm writing a book right now. If you would have told me I'd be writing a book a few years ago, I would have thought that was insane. But I've learned now that we have editors for this stuff. This is what editors are for. And it's our ideas that are the profound aspect, not the grammar behind it. So although obviously there's an importance for grammar, if there's any grammar nerds out there, I apologize. I'm not trying to offend you. But it's the ideas that are powerful. It's not the grammar behind them. The grammar just makes it clear at that point. And we can get people to do that. So don't worry about that when you're just trying to get the ideas to come out. And when you're trying to brainstorm ideas for your business to grow and to come up with new product ideas, this is so essential to just remove all editing from the process, because this is where the flow comes and this is where the real, real, just epic sort of ideas come from. So Jenny, thank you so much for that, because as I said, this is something that I can forget that I just do on almost a daily basis now. And it's so very, very essential to everything that I'm doing at this point. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. As always, thank you so very much. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Check it out. Put your name and email. No, just your email, actually. I don't take names. Just your email in that top spot where it says to put your email. You'll get my email once a week. The best work that I'm doing. And I have a book coming out in a couple months. And I would love to let you know about it first. And maybe you can help me work on it as we go. I'm going to be needing some feedback. So yeah, hacktheentrepreneur.com. If you also have a chance, the best way that you could possibly repay me for everything that I do, if I do anything for you, I hope I do. But the best way to just benefit the show is to leave me a rating and review. If you are an iPhone user, then iTunes is the place, hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes, or go to your podcast app, look up Hack the Entrepreneur. Or if you are on an Android device, then probably Stitcher would be the place, stitcher.com, or hacktheentrepreneur.com/Stitcher. Takes 2 minutes, and it helps so, so very much, and I would greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right. Thank you once again. I truly do appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.